Blog Talk Radio.
Church of the Firstborn. This is Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin. We're expecting that the Lord has a word for us tonight. This is our first gathering into the new year 2016, and I believe it's an awesome word that the Lord wants us to hear, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and for us to listen very carefully to what he's saying to us. And I think, I've been saying that for about 2 years, just almost 2 years now, more than a year and a half. And I believe that in this year, this 2016, that it's going to take on greater significance, because I believe that we are at a very critical time in our place and walk with the Lord. And one of the reasons we're moving into a place with God, a place where God is, or are we moving? I don't know whether we are where he is, but let's say we're moving in a place that God is expecting more of us than we have been given. I believe that we have learned so much from the Lord. We've been in the church. We have been taught. We have been ministered to. We've been talked to. And at the same time, I believe the Lord wants us to give up our position of staying in place and running in place and walking in place and move with him. I believe the call to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church is ringing louder this year. It's ringing louder now for 2016. I think he is trying more strategically to get us to hear what he's saying to us. What more can he teach that we haven't learned when we haven't moved with what we've learned? So let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church, and let's listen very carefully to what he's saying to us so that we can move with him. And so tonight we welcome you to the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. I'm Pernell Hewing, coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin. We're going to hear Prophet Dean Mitchum sing tonight. I believe he is very prophetic tonight when he sings, "There's a New Church Arising," because I believe the Lord truly wants us to prepare to let that new church arise in us, and then to step into that new church and flow with him in the Spirit. So let's let Dean bring us into that realm of the Spirit where we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church and to the church, and that we can listen very carefully to what he wants us to hear.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is raising up a new church. Are you a part of that church? The saints movement. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
There's a new church
Come on, can you hear it? Oh, we're shaking off the bonds of this world. We're raising our voice till every ear has heard. We'll pop the side and work a miracle too. It's arising in me, so let it rise in you. There's a new church arising that the world has never seen. Oh, come on now, sing it with me. There's a new church arising. There's a new church arising.
Prophet Dean, we're so grateful for knowing this great man of God. He is just such a wonderful worshiper, but just so down to earth. We just love him and just love his family. He came to us this year. He had just was on his birthday, and he had a grandson that was just born, and he's really a family man, loves the Lord. We believe that one day I'll get him back on the air, and he's going to tell his testimony of how his father gave up his life so that they would be able to serve the Lord, and certainly he's doing that. So let's get into the word of the Lord tonight. I'm just excited about the word of the Lord. I would believe and hope and pray that what we will do on this program is to bring you back to the Word and bring you to the Word in such a way that the Word can become living flesh to you and to me. I think we have learned so much, and it's so easy for us to read, till we begin to read the Word like it is the newspaper. But the word has life, and it's God's word. And we're taking the book of Matthew, precept upon precept, not to learn. We've read, and I'm sure if you've been in the body of Christ for a while, you've read this 100 times. But I want you to take another position with the word now. I want you to make the word life for you. I want you to allow the Lord to minister a truth from the word for you. Behind every verse in the Bible, there is a powerful word that God may have just for you. I was thinking the other day that, I think so things have happened to cause us and to cause the world to get away from the written word. And I believe, our mind is our most precious commodity. It is the most powerful organ we have. And when you think about it, Adam, when God brought every animal before Adam, he named them. And that took great power. And I believe that power we have in our mind is latent. And I would, if you want to make a new, I don't like to say a resolution, a new commitment to God, that you're going to come back to the word in a way that the word will become life to you, because it can become life to you. I remember, technology is great. I love technology, and I probably have a greater appreciation for technology than most people, because I was there with the standard typewriters when you had to punch real hard to get them done, and then this electric came in and with the little ball in the middle, and then I was there with the old Mac where you had to put the drive in and out, take it in and out to load it and all that, and as the technology began to increase, I began to appreciate it even more, because I knew where it came from, where you had to really work to get something on paper. But I believe that if we're not very careful, the enemy will use this. I see it in our schools. I see it in our children. You can dumb down the mind by putting it at rest and letting the machine work for you. So as believers, I think we need to let the word come back to the word in a special way, so that our minds can be engaged again. Because as our minds are engaged, God by his spirit can speak deeper truth to the mind rather than what we say. I remember once in our meeting in the local sanctuary of the firstborn, just out of, I probably did it without thinking much of it. It could have been a joke. It wasn't really. I told everyone to put all the electronics down and open your Bible. And because I said, even if Mr. Google stopped working, most of us wouldn't know how to find the book of the Bible. And so someone thought I did it on purpose. But I want us to come back to the word. There's nothing wrong with the technology. But there's something about the written word that brings life. If you are a reader and you begin to read stories and you begin to read it from the paper, seems like it takes more life for me. I don't know. It probably isn't for everyone. But I'm calling you back to the Word of God in a special way. When we started our school of ministry more than 20-some years ago, one of the things the Lord spoke to me very clearly, he said, I want people to come and spend 30 minutes about 3 times a week just with me, so that I can minister to them personally. And of course, if you read any of my books and if you've been around any time, you know that I always say that. And what he was saying was, we can catch a lot in the air. We can catch a lot from people talking to us. We can catch a lot coming across a pulpit. We can catch a lot from videos. We can catch a lot. But when you take time to let the word become flesh to you, and I always teach my people, when you're reading the word, read a passage. You may take a verse or two, a passage, read it. then go back and think on it. Think on the fact of what the verse by verse, and then go back and pray and ask the Lord to open it up to you. When that happens, you connect to that word. You don't just hear the word. You connect to that word. And you really don't have to read whole books. You may spend 6 months in just a few chapters or maybe in one short book. But when you come out of it, you're full of God's life, and you get different messages. You get deeper messages. So I want to encourage you tonight to make a commitment to God, because, I say, I don't believe in New Year's resolution. I don't for myself. But if you want to do it as a New Year's resolution, that you're going to take set aside about 2 or 3 times a week when you're just going to meet with the Lord and you're going to read the Word out of the Bible. And I'm not saying throw your iPads and your smartphones away. I use mine. I got iPad, smartphone, desk Mac. I got my Mac laptop. I got all that. I got HPs. But if you take that word of God and just sit with that word for 10 to 30 minutes and let that be your time that you're meeting with the Lord, at first you may not understand it. At first nothing may happen. Go back again. You may read the same verse, the same chapter. You may spend a week with that, read a few verses, then go back and think on it. Then go back and ask the Lord to explain it to you or open it up to you or what can this mean to you. And if you were to do that for about 6 weeks, you would be surprised how your entire spiritual life will change. And it's amazing, since we've been in the book of Matthew, and I do recommend the book of Matthew. It's probably one of those books that you don't really read right away. A lot of people read the book of John first, and I love that, and we do that in our local church of the Firstborn. And a lot of people say read 1 John. And I think that's good because it really brings us to what Jesus wants us to do. But when we come to the place in the kingdom where we are now, I don't care how long you've been born again and how less time you've been born again, the Lord has opened the door to his kingdom. And what he wants us to see is the king has come to the earth. And we see Jesus as he comes to the earth and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then we moved on into chapter 5, where he began to tell us how to live out of the commandments of God in the heart, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit. He warned against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He warned against the law, that how to, instead of living out the law. And I think that is so appropriate for us at this time, because we have learned so much. We've learned the prophetic, we've learned the apostolic, we've learned deliverance, we've learned healing. We've got a lingo, well, language, all of our own. As a matter of fact, we got such a language until the church door opened and people ran in from the street and say, what do I need to do to be saved? They probably wouldn't understand the answer, because we'd probably give them a church answer. So we've come to the place where we need to come back to the Word. And the Word is so simply written. And that's the strange thing about it. Most people think that they don't understand the Word because of the writing. They don't understand the Word because the Word is spiritual. It has life. It has the life of God. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have my life in you. So his flesh is the word of God. And until you take that word and you chew on it and you think on it and you begin to appreciate what the word says about the blood of Jesus, then you will have not the life of God. So that's my word for the new year. If you want to make a new commitment, make a commitment to set yourself aside 10 to 30 minutes, about 2 or 3 times a week, and get into the Word of God. And I recommend Matthew, I recommend, you know, I kept saying I want to do Matthew and Hebrews at the same time because they're both kingdom books. And then I thought, well, I want to do Matthew, I want to do Hebrews, I want to do Revelation. And then I believe the Lord said, just stay with Matthew because you see Jesus in the earth. You see when the kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. So stay there. So I want to go to chapter 6 tonight in Matthew, but before I go to chapter 6, let me just kind of move generally back up into chapter 5 where he was giving us the Beatitudes. And literally, if you enter into what's said there, it would change every pattern of life that we have. For example, when he said in Matthew 5, verse 38, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him to the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain twice that time. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. It's a whole different way of living. Now, we can read that, but I think the Lord is speaking to us here to say the kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. And because it has come on earth as it is in heaven, you will then need to change your way of thinking, your way of acting, and your way of living. Because the kingdom has come on earth, and it comes into your heart. And the Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That means that there is a righteousness that is right standing with God or in the right way that we're supposed to walk. And there is peace. That means we've given up running our own life and ruling our own life, and we've made peace with God, and we're on his side now, and we're not fighting against him. And so I believe that each one of the passages that God gives us here, the messages he gives us in the latter part of 6, if we enter into it, will change our very life. For example, I thought when I read verse 43, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publican the same? But if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publican so? But ye therefore perfect, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven. And the other thing, because when I read that passage, I needed not just to read it and meditate on it and ask the Lord to open it up to me. I needed to pray for the Lord to give me that heart that I could love my enemies. Then I needed to pray some more for the Lord and pray in the Spirit for the Lord to show me where I did not love my enemies, as he was saying here, and I could not turn the other cheek. And as I began to pray, he revealed things that I never even thought about. But that is another way for the Spirit of the Lord to tell you what he's saying to you. He was saying to me that there were things and people that were enemies to me, and you can easily walk away and say, I forgive them. I know that they are doing this against me. I just won't have anything to do with them. But in praying through the scriptures, the Lord gave me another heart. He gave me a heart to walk in the scripture. And you know what he showed me, and I don't know, it may be the same with you, that one of the reasons that we don't do that, or we try to make sure that the enemy doesn't get the best of us, is that we are so afraid that it will take advantage of us, that they will, as my mother used to say, run over us. Well, then, as you begin to pray about it, that's why prayer and the word should always be mixed. As you begin to pray, the Lord steps in that place not to let the enemy take advantage of you. Although in many instances it may appear that the enemy is taking advantage of you, it may appear that they're getting the upper hand, but God is still there, and now he's calling me to trust him in that instance, and he's calling me to give him an opportunity to change it, not my trying to change it. One of the greatest things that came out for me, and I don't know whether it's for you, and it happened many years ago, is I don't have to have the last word. I don't have to prove that what I am saying is true. I don't have to convince that person that I'm right and that one is wrong. And before that, it was very important that I explain myself, that I tell that person that they're wrong about this. And so then the Lord began to say, when you do that, you're fighting your own battle. So in this passage, he was bringing us to the end of something in our lives that would bring us into a place where we could enter the kingdom. I pray that you will read these scriptures, that you would pray the scriptures, and even when you pray them and when you read them and you meditate on them and the Lord doesn't speak right away, do not be discouraged, because the Lord has to break through some things in order to get truth to you. Then he also has to trust you as to whether you're going to come back and stay with it. If he gives it to you quickly, you just all of a sudden, I got this, and then you go on. But you didn't get it, because it takes time then for him to change you. You see, repentance is not just crying out and that will happen and being so sorry and mourning. Repentance is turning around, doing just the opposite. And a lot of time, sometimes you won't even get the sorrow right away. You just know that you can't do that anymore. And God may have to work through patterns in your life to get you to stop making sure that you get the last word. He may have to work through things in your heart to get the blame out when you're blaming someone. It's easy maybe not to argue. It's easy to shut up. But what about the heart? What's in your heart that you've shut up? In your heart, that person is still wrong. That person is still less than you. That person is, you're still right, and that person is wrong. We had an interesting occurrence at our New Year's Eve gathering at the very end. I don't know whether anyone saw this but me, besides me. But at the very end, after Prophetess Susan was there, she gave us a great word of the Lord for the year. We all, I believe everyone received it and claimed it as their word. And we had a wonderful time. The Holy Spirit met us in a great way. And so when it was all over, I had a DVD I wanted to play because it was the word of the Lord he'd given me several years ago, but I thought it was so appropriate after her message, and it was Turn Around. And so I got this DVD up, and I stuck it on in the player, and only two words came out. And it kept looping and saying the same thing. It was beautifully made. The DVD, I had made it years ago, beautifully made with this heavy arrow. And all it said was, turn right into righteousness. Turn right. And that would stay on the screen for a while. Then the next screen would say, into righteousness. Turn right into righteousness. And so what the Lord was saying, he didn't have to tell us a lot. The DVD, had it played, would have shown a lot of things about making decision at a crossroad and all that. But all he was saying is turn right into righteousness. Righteousness is Jesus Christ, right standing with him in the right place. Now turn right and turn into this place with him. And so I believe that's what the Lord is saying for 2016, and the only way we can do that is to get into the Word. Well, maybe have some time to get into chapter 6 of Matthew. It is such a power-packed chapter. It sets our lives in such a way that we can really and truly see that when Jesus came to the earth and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, I sense and I really believe that he's stepping into our church. He's stepping into our lives. He's stepping into our place where we are with him and saying to us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so all the things he's telling us in these chapters, we call the Beatitudes, and what he is saying, this is the kingdom. This is what you have to do to live and move in the kingdom. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. As you listen to me, as you follow me as I lead you, then I'll make you fishes of men. I will open the way for you to bring others into the kingdom. But I'm talking to you. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is he saying to you? Follow me, and I will make you fishes of men. And then he goes on to give us directives as to what this means to us individually. I can say to you, you've heard it been said of old, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say love your enemies, bless them that curse you. He's speaking directly to you and to me. I can't change your heart to love your enemies. You have to hear that he's saying that to you. And the thing that, because this is such a powerful revelation in these chapters, we really need to pray over everyone. When you read that, you need to pray in the Spirit for the Lord to show you any enemy that you have just disenfranchised, because you know that's your enemy, so you don't want anything to do with them, because usually it's a person and someone close to you. The Lord had a word for you today. He said, I say, love your enemies, and then bless them that curse you. So you may have to linger over that scripture for a while. You may have to pray it and ask the Lord first to open up and show you anyone that you didn't even know that you had put into that category and had treated them in a different manner from what he was saying. And then after he does show you, you may have to linger some more to ask him to give you grace to obey the word, to give you in your heart the heart to bless that one that curse you, to love that one who you know is your enemy. You know, I've observed in the body of Christ, this is not a judgment, it's an observation, that it is not easy to forgive. It really isn't, because we get so wounded in the body and we think that this is the last place that we should be wounded, because this is where Christ is, this is where love is. And once we're wounded, we have such a difficult time overcoming that wound, because if it was a stranger, we could do it easily. But someone, as David said, it was my brethren that walked with me, that talked with me, and turned on me. And it's difficult. The same thing if you're going through a difficult time with a marriage, with divorce, with splitting. It takes so much for one to overcome and forgive. And the enemy is at the door for bitterness to sneak in. He does it in marriages. He would love bitterness to come in because God is love. And he who abides in God abides in love. And believe me, saints, you have to pray for that love. You have to ask God for it. It is not normal for us to give up quickly and overcome when someone has hurt us deeply. And so I believe this, with Jesus coming on the scene, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, that he's coming in his church, that he's speaking these words to the church, that now you tune your ear into him to hear what he is saying to you. I may not have to hear him say, love your enemies. He did that, might have done it long years ago, but I might have a difficult time blessing one who cursed me. So each one of the verses open up our theme, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, because this is for the church. It is for the kingdom. And then listen very carefully to what he's saying to you. When we get to chapter 6, it is so much power in chapter 6. There are so many aspects and areas in chapter 6. I don't know how long we're going to be in chapter 6. I would love to rush this along, but I don't know how long, because look at what he, first of all, he opens up and he talks about giving alms, and it's interesting the way he presents it, because if we were not careful, we wouldn't understand what he is saying, because we don't use the word alms, and alms are so completely different from giving of our tithe and our offering. So he talks about that. He talks about how to give it. Then he talks about a prayer and how to pray and why, where to pray. And then he gets into prayer. He teaches the disciples how to pray. We need to spend much time with that because it's the prayer. I say the prayer because it covers everything kingdom. And we might be so far removed from praying that prayer, but any time you pray that prayer, it opens the heavens, because this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, not just because he taught his disciples to pray it, but because it is the prayer that covers all that the Lord brought to the earth for the kingdom to bring down from heaven and establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's a whole area we need to spend time with about forgiveness. And I think it's so key that we really spend time with it. It is the one of two places in the Bible, depending upon what translation that you're using, that it talks about trespasses. And, you know, you might assume, if you read that and you assume you understand trespasses, you'll skip over and say, I got that, I know that. But you don't know it because years ago the Lord had me to do a really deep study on trespasses, and then he had me to do biblical offerings, and I taught it in my school. I still teach it from time to time. And trespasses is one of those biblical offerings in the Old Testament, but it's just not an offering. The whole truth surrounding trespasses and all the other biblical offerings, like the peace offering and the burnt offering and the trespass offering and the meat offering, each one has a litany of information that everyone needs to know to understand offerings and to understand how to give them and to understand why to give them, to understand what it means, you see. And trespasses was one of the most, actually the most expensive one, so much so until I wrote it up in several of my books. Not only did I write it up in several of my books, the details of it, I also did a special handout that I gave out to my students with many pages to help them to understand how powerful that one word was of trespasses. For example, I think I've mentioned this before. I remember one year in our school of ministry, all of our students write their autobiography, and so I had them during that semester write your autobiography, go to your altar, and take this information I'd written all about trespass offering and see who you trespass and see when you trespass them and how you trespass against your neighbor and all the elements of trespass that God had written up in the Old Testament and pray through it. And we had more healing that semester, that year, than I've ever had in my school of ministry. And our school of ministry is all about healing. The first 2 years when people come in, they spend those 2 years getting healed of things from the past. But that particular year, I never taught healing except what the classroom or textbook had in that I'd written. But just the way that they found out what trespass was and how they had trespassed and how they repented of it, and they saw it as they wrote their autobiography and compared it, then the Holy Spirit began to say, forgive. And I always say this, saints, we are healed and delivered to the degree that we are committed to God. We may look for healing, but are we committed to God? Because sometimes we want, just like he's telling us in these passages here, we want healing because we've read the scripture and they say healing is the children's bread. We want healing to get out of our situation. We want healing to stop hurting. We want healing so that we'll have some joy. But that's not the purpose of it. And that's what he was saying in all these passages he's giving us. Do not do anything ritualistically. Do not do it for an ulterior motive, a different motive. You see, unless you're committed to God for your life, not for to be a church member, not to go to church, because, you know, sometimes what we can do is we can use the things that we do that is written for us to do to keep us from going deeper and finding what's wrong with us. After all, I give tithes. After all, I go to church. After all, I work in the church. After all, I do all these things. But God may want to get your attention to say, but have you forgiven your mother? Have you forgiven your father for not being there? Have you forgiven your husband for something he did? Did you take authority or stepping into a territory that's not ours? We go into a place. So what about the last church you were in? Well, how did you leave it? I mean, there's so many things he wants to tell us so that we can repent. But we can build all the goodness we do and all the things we do in our lives and gives us then a license to keep on going without a license to stop and letting the Holy Spirit deal with us. And I think that's what these chapters are about. I think that's what Jesus did when he came on the earth. I think that's why we need to look into Matthew. I think we, as a church, we're almost where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. They were so good at keeping the law. They knew what to do. They knew how to do it, and they kept it literally, and they kept it well. And because they did that, the Lord comes on the scene, and he's telling them, I'm not taking the law away from you. Not one jot or tittle will be lost. But he was giving them the higher way to walk. I believe that we are right there now. We have learned all that we can handle, more than we can handle. As a matter of fact, we've learned it so well till we use it for our glory. We use our prayer time for our glory. And, you know, there was a season of time when saints were taught, and it was right at that season, a good time, and it was for that season to soak in the Lord. So they would lie in his presence, and they would soak in the Lord. And that was good. God was calling that soaking time. But there's a time when the soaking should be over, and we rise up to move out and step into what he's telling us now. What does he say in the first part of chapter 6 of Matthew? Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, he might tell you that while you are soaking, if you see the need to soak. But if you soak and you just enjoy his presence and you don't allow him to tell you what to do and you don't get up and do it, then you are right where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. You're following what you ought to do, but you're not following what he followed me. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He goes on to say, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And what he was saying to them, evidently, I believe, they had the alms at the door that they would, when they come in, they would drop it in with their right hand. But because the Sadducees wanted everyone to see what they're doing, they might even put it in their left hand so they could cross over and they could see that they're doing. Now remember, alms are when they're giving to the poor, or when they're putting something in for the poor. And I think that we miss a lot of how God wants us to be blessed, helping us to know that different ways, and this chapter kind of brings it in. I remember when I was in a church in Madison, and just a beautiful, wonderful, charismatic church. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit then, and just beautiful church. And our pastor at that time, I was working on a PhD degree, and she just stepped out of her PhD degree to start this church for inner healing and deliverance and just opening up the heavens for the Lord to come in. And she taught us very well that when we came in, if we had something to give to the poor, she had a basket open that we could put in whatever amount of money we wanted to put in there. And she encouraged us to put it in. Then she had another basket where we would put our tithe. And then she would say to the people who needed something, who needed food or something, go to the basket where we'd put our blessings in and take out what you need. Don't take any more than you need, you see. And so, and it worked beautifully at that time. But giving alms, we must give alms. And we must give alms to the poor. You know, the Lord is so gracious to us who don't, you know, we're like the Jews were when they were coming out of the law. We have done things so ritualistically for so long that we haven't done a deep study. And the Lord has been convicting me because he taught me so well over the years of things to do and not to do. Well, one of the things that when we started the local church of Firstborn, and we didn't know what to do, he literally brought it in. In our local church, we have we call it a change jar. It moved from change to dollars. And we just, every Saturday evening at our worship service, we encourage people to bring all of their change and their dollars in, extra dollars in, and put in that jar. And that's our family jar for the local place here in Whitewater where they take care of families called Bethel House. That was the purpose of that jar. And what we put in there, it was supposed to be our alms. It's supposed to be going to help those that are in need. And then the other thing that God had us to put in, we didn't even know what he was doing because we were so new at this. He was taking the church of the firstborn that he raised up in the wilderness, and he was bringing it into the New Testament and the sanctuary of the firstborn and the church of the firstborn. We didn't know what we were doing, but we were just following. One advantage is to just follow what the Lord is doing. The next thing he did, he put in a Levitical offering, and literally it was leading up to the Melchizedek offering, but I'm not going to say much about that. But what he meant by that is this was supposed to be the free will offering given to the priest of the house, because that's why, and that was where the blessing was coming. It was not the tithe, and everyone should have been able to give something in that. And so, you know, there's so much. I think we are right where, when Jesus came on the scene in Matthew, that's where we are. I think we have taken lightly over the years the offering jar, we started calling it the change jar, and then one year the Lord started changing. He said, put some dollars in too. And so we've taken it lightly. We forget our change sometimes at home. I do sometimes. And we don't even think that this is something that God is looking at us when we put that change in there. And when we put those dollars in there, a lot of time you have dollars you don't even spend, and you have so many of them, and they're bulging in your pocket. You'd rather change them into $10 bills. Put them in the jar, because the Bethel House here in Whitewater has take care of families that don't have any home, and they have a place where they bring them in, and they can stay there. They only deal with families. They only deal with children, mothers with children. It's been a blessing. I remember once one lady who came in from out of town, and she came in and had a terrible accident and could not work for a long time, and she had no way of taking care of herself. And they called me from, the Tarot it was at that time, and said, would I hire her? And I did. And she was a beautiful woman who turned out to be, was helped by Bethel House, lived there with her child for a long period of time, but became a working member of society. After she left my employment, she went to another employment in town and then ended up with another one. And so Bethel House doesn't just take people in to give them welfare. They build them up and make them working members of a society. So when you put your change in the jar, see, those are arms. They're not, that's not your tithe. It's not a seed. Those are alms. And that's what the Lord was saying. He said, you're going to get a reward. You don't have to tell everybody what you're doing, but you're going to get a reward. Now, there's another truth to what he was saying there. He's also, he says the same thing about prayer. I'm going to leave prayer for tonight. But what he's saying is, don't do anything so that you can be seen. Sometimes people pray some prayers that it sounds like they're trying to make the prayer sound good. I always tell people, you know, if you're going to pray for me, you better ask God how to pray, because the same prayer you pray for somebody else don't work for me, you know, and the same prayer I pray for one person doesn't work for the other. I really tried to help people to wait on the Spirit of the Lord to tell you, and I think we lose so much. I want to talk a great deal about prayer. I don't know how long we're going to be in this chapter of Matthew, because he literally set a tone and set the table for prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, or for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And I literally believe that this is where we are, and what the church needs to hear, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We need to hear how to pray. We really need to know how to pray and not pray the same prayer, not pray the same thing, not pray the same words. But as we begin to pray, and I believe this happens as we spend time in prayer, in our prayer closet, as he says here, as you begin to spend time with the Lord, praying in the secret of your closet, I believe the Lord then began to work a work in you that when you do have to pray publicly, that you will pray. Some people say, I don't like to pray publicly. Why not? I mean, prayer is communicating with God. If you're serious, he did say, don't pray, you know, only pray in the closet. But what he's saying, the message here is, don't pray to be heard and don't pray to be seen. I've seen this happen in congregation. I hope you don't do this. Follow the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is saying something, is doing something. He's going one way. I've been known to say, well, Mary Jane, will you pray? And that person goes in a whole new direction, not following which way the Spirit was taking. Because if you don't follow the Spirit and you pray, because you pray your own prayers, what you got bottled up in you, rather than hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. How do you learn to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Don't be afraid to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He doesn't speak in an audible voice all the time. He doesn't speak and tell you do this and don't do this. But let your mind and your heart be open. And when you pray, when you finish praying, just rest before the Lord for a bit. Think on the scriptures. Don't let your mind go blank. Just think a little bit. Read your word. Meditate on your word. Then pray the word. Then think on what you just prayed, you see. If you take 5 minutes to do that, it will help you to let the word speak to you. And then learn to pray in your closet. Learn how to, after you read the word, to begin to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And then begin to pray. And so you say, well, I want to pray about my cousin. I want to pray for Mary Jane. And, you know, we are all about family intercession. So why can't I just go ahead and ask him? I didn't say don't. What I'm saying is, allow the Holy Spirit. He said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen. Verily I say, they have their reward. And that's really nice saying, that I believe that we are right where Jesus was. The church is right where the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Jesus and John the Baptist were. We are still having people who want to be heard, who has a voice, a prayer that sounds like prayer, because it sounds like the kind of voice of prayer that is often heard. And there's nothing wrong with sounding like that if this is where God is having you to pray at this time. I think we are missing one of the most precious ordinances and one of the most precious gifting God has given us, and that is communicating with God by prayer. Unfortunately, the world doesn't want us to do that. The world clouds our mind with all the things that we see on TV. We are drawn to that, and our mind are cluttered with that. That's when I say the world doesn't want us to learn to read. It doesn't even want our children in school to learn to read. It doesn't present good stories that they can get excited about reading it through to the end. And in the church, we don't read the Bible. We read it like we read the newspaper. Now, I'm not saying that as a judgment. I'm saying it as, let's give attention to how we read the Bible. Read a verse. Read slowly. Read carefully. Pronounce the words that you can pronounce. And if you are studying, look up the words. Prophet Susan and I were talking, and the prophetic word came out about goodness and mercy. And so we began to look up the word goodness, and I knew what goodness meant, and she knew it too. But when we began to look up that word, God had a whole level of understanding for goodness is connected to him that I'd never seen before. And see, this broadened your knowledge of God. It broadened your understanding of God. It gives you then a connection to whom you belong. And it gives you a connection by the word of God. It gives you a connection through prayer. That's how we live, by the word and in prayer. It changes us on the inside, and it changes us on the outside. I will say this, and then I'm going to close tonight. We all have so much more to do than maybe in the earlier days when people could read and spend time reading a good book, reading the Word of God. So now we have all of the tools, all of the technology that we can easily get a message. I'm not sure it's not damaging us in a way, because, you know, we have so much more to do. We can spend hours on Facebook. We can spend hours even on our computers. We can spend hours Googling things. We can do that, and that's good. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But do we ever find time to get the Word of God and spend 30 minutes two or three times a week just connected to the Word, just in connection to the Word? Because, you know, there's a difference between reading something and being connected to it. And if you can form a connection to the Word, you will be surprised how God would revolutionize not just your walk with him, but there'll be a change on the inside, and the enemy will come at you but will not knock you down. It will keep you during trying times. It will prevent you. I had this poem. I meant to read it. I learned it in elementary school, and it's by Rudyard Kipling, and it says, if you can keep your head when all around you is losing theirs and blaming it on you. That's how it opens, and he goes all the way down talking about if you can do that. It's called If by Rudyard Kipling. If you those of you who love to Google, just read it. But if I get a chance and I pull it out of my files, I'll read it to you. Because God wants us to be changed on the inside. I think that's what Jesus was saying, and this is what Matthew chapters 3, 4, 5, and now 6. We're going to look at prayer next on Wednesday night. I'll be with you on Wednesday night. And then we go from prayer, and listen, there's a powerful word here. And then he talks about finances in the same chapter. And then he goes on and he talks about the kingdom. And it's a whole different lifestyle. So if you happen to read this chapter, just read it slowly. And it's given in, the messages are given in portions. Meditate on the portions. Think on the portions. And then ask the Lord to help you to be changed into his likeness. Bless you tonight. I am really seriously hoping that I will be with you on Wednesday night. You can tell my voice is really getting a little cracky, and I'm still trying to get it cleared up. So would you please now read Matthew. I hope to be back with you on Wednesday, same time, same place, at 7 p.m. Father, we thank you tonight for those that are listening. I pray that you would, by your Spirit, make sure in the Spirit, by the Spirit, that each one hear from you. You have said you've sent us a message to the church and for the church. Now, Lord, let us hear what you want us to hear for us individually. Every one of the passages in Matthew 4, 5, and 6 that we've come across speak directly to the church, but it also opens a message for us. Let our hearts be tender that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. Let our hearts, O God, be so willing and open, not just to hear, but to do. Because when we listen, we're not listening just to get the message. We're listening for instructions, and we're listening so that we can hear what the Lord is saying to us. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, we thank you so much for giving us this time on the on this program tonight. We know that many are listening, and they have been into Matthew, and they're reading the book of Matthew. And if you want to give a response to anything that we said tonight, you can always send us an email at phewing@yahoo.com, or you can call us at the Sanctuary of the Firstborn, 262-473-7472. We've been blessed. So those of you that are listening, those of you that are regular listeners, and we hope that the Lord has given you a new revelation and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and what he's saying to you. We thank you again for listening, and we say good night.